This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, we'll have a Trash Tuesday for you in about 38 minutes from now. So send us your trashings, won't you? On Twitter, DA on CBS. Or hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS, as I mentioned before. Next hour, Greg Anthony will join us 1 hour from now. We'll talk to Greg about the upcoming NBA All-Star Game and where we sit with the NBA now entering All-Star Weekend. Also, we'll look ahead to the NFL Draft with a potential number one draft pick. First-round projected cornerback out of North Carolina, MJ Stewart, is going to join us coming up on the show. Some mock drafts have projected him as going to the New England Patriots. Assuming that they lose Malcolm Butler to free agency, MJ Stewart, UNC cornerback, is going to join us 17 minutes from now. I'm sorry, an hour and 17 minutes from now. Now, speaking of the Patriots, when you lose the Super Bowl, you get the questions. And the Patriots are not going to be above that. You know, during that week lead up, you wondered if the Eagles were too fast and too loose. How many offensive linemen did I ask, whether it was Orlando Pace or Anthony Munoz, in that Super Bowl week about Lane Johnson's comments? Lane Johnson, during that week, of course, he was leading the charge wearing the dog masks for the Eagles. Lane Johnson also called out Tom Brady as being a pretty boy. He said he couldn't wait to knock him down a peg. And Lane Johnson, for an offensive lineman, was really opinionated and really out there. That's just not how offensive linemen are normally wired. Well, he continued with that. On the Pardon My Take podcast, he said, quote, "I just think that the Patriots way is a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They've won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy it and can say, I had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't. That's just the God's honest truth. They're successful, but when they go to do interviews, they act like bleeping robots. Hey, stop being a bleephead. We can be cordial for a little bit. You only get to do this job one time. Let's have fun while we're doing it. Not to be reckless, but I'd much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and win five. But hey, it is what it is." Now, you've had guys like Teddy Bruschi come out and say, "We had a lot of fun winning three Super Bowls." And other Patriots defending the way the Patriots do business. Look, here's the fact of the matter. We don't hear about players within the Patriots organization being unhappy because they keep everything in-house. And because if you gripe when you leave, you look like you couldn't get it done in a tough situation. If you complain when you leave, you look like you're the soft guy because they always win. And it makes you look like you don't care about winning if you complain when you leave or when you're there. So nobody complains. Also, If you complain and you're on the outside looking in, you're called jealous. So there is no win here for NFL players calling out the Patriots in the way that they do things. There's no win. Either you don't care about winning or you're jealous. But I'll tell you, guys that I've spoken to off air who have played within the Patriots organization have complained about it. Guys who have won that I've spoken to off air complain about it. They understand what the value was by adhering to strict policies, by doing it the Belichick way, by not giving the opponent any bulletin board material, by not saying anything through the media, by not really being allowed to be an individual, by not questioning the coaching practices, by not questioning what happens on the field, off the field, in the organization, in roster building, in the draft, in anything. By not doing that, that's the safe zone. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the organization expects you to do, and you benefit from winning within it. Guys that win within that organization have that ultimate stick over everybody else. I got to win. I won a Super Bowl. I won the division. I went to the AFC Championship game. I won. And that's what all these players ultimately are competitive about. I can't tell you how many times I've sat on Radio Row over the course of a week and spoken to a parade of guys that have played at the highest level, Hall of Famers, Pro Bowlers, living legends, icons. And when they all get together, the bragging rights is who has the big fat ring. And the guys that don't have the big fat ring feel inferior, and it sucks for them. And look, there's guys that go to the Hall of Fame, and so they feel good about that jacket, that gold jacket, that bust, that living legend status. But ultimately, if you don't have the big fat ring when you're walking around Super Bowl week, you are lesser than. And that bothers a lot of guys who are alpha males and might have been great at what they did. So when you know you can be on the Patriots and win and get a really good chance at winning a Super Bowl, you go there. And you shut your mouth and you do it because ultimately you know you just want one of those rings that you can brag. You want one of those rings that you can say, I was a winner too. But a lot of those guys aren't happy. A lot of those guys aren't happy because the Patriots do strip away a lot of the fun. The best thing, though, that the Patriots have is that they have the best player who completely falls into line. That's Tom Brady. When Brady falls into line, you don't have a choice. But look, I covered that locker room for 4 years. I spoke to guys off air. I did their pregame and postgame show for a number of seasons. I spoke to guys off air. Worked with guys, spoke to guys. There's a lot of guys that didn't love it, that complained that Bill purposefully didn't play them during chances where they could gain bonuses out of performance-based bonuses, how many catches, how many sacks, how many plays you played, all these things, he would purposefully not play so that you didn't hit the bonus. They get to free agency, and instead of awarding you or honoring you for everything that you've done for the organization, they say, we've got a cheaper, better alternative, and you stink, and they wave goodbye to you. They trade you in the middle of a season. They cut bait with you like Jamie Collins. They say goodbye to you like Lawyer Malloy. And they don't turn around, they don't whisper, and they don't wonder. Patrick Chung was drafted by the Patriots. Then they said, you know what, you're not good for us, go elsewhere. He went elsewhere and said, oh my God, this sucks, I'm playing for teams that don't win anything, and came crawling back after the Patriots basically shoved him out the door saying, you're not worth it, we don't want you anymore, get out of here. And then you come crawling back to the security and the bosom of the Patriots because you win, and here's the other thing. A lot of guys don't want to speak to the media. You know, there's two sides of this equation. There are guys that wish that they could be more talkative. They wish that they could say more. They wish that they could have more of a personality because that's naturally who they are. There are guys that love being under this cloak of secrecy because they're not expected to do anything. They have the built-in excuse. I have gone to that locker room, sat inside that locker room for multiple hours, asked PR, hey, could we get so-and-so? And they say, well, we'll ask, but we'll have to see. And then they come back and go, nah, he's in the hot tub today. But he said he was going to do it on Tuesday. Sorry, he's not coming out. And they're not going to push. And this can happen week after week after week after week. Because those guys don't want to talk. They want to have a built-in excuse. And the excuse is the Patriots are happy when I don't talk. I've been in that locker room after a practice and had three guys out of the 52 available to speak. Three. Now imagine that. One of which is a special teamer, one of which is a backup offensive lineman, and one is the kicker. Think about that. You want to go in there and get access to what happened at practice, what happened in the OTA, what happened with the game on Sunday. There's three people in there. So this allows a cover for some guys. So I think it works both ways. Is this a fear-based organization? Here's what's fear-based about it. No player in that organization ever feels comfortable. Ever. Tom Brady doesn't feel comfortable. With Jimmy Garoppolo there, Tom Brady didn't feel comfortable because he knew even Bill Belichick would do him dirty if he felt like he could. Now, ultimately, Brady had the support of the organization at ownership level. And so once you have that, Brady kind of knew he was untouchable. But from a Bill level, nobody's untouchable. So the fear base is Bill will get rid of me for anything. He sat Wes Welker in a playoff game for making foot jokes about Rex Ryan. He sat Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. So yeah, there's a fear base there because Bill is cutthroat. The fear is they'll move on without me. I've got no leash, none. Some guys take it to the extreme. Some guys live in fear. But that's the fear-based part of it. If I do anything outside of this, they'll just leave me and move on because they do it every year. Every year they take a guy out and put a new guy in. And so you never feel comfortable that you actually have any significant value to them. Is that a way to live? I don't know. It depends on what you like. If you are a football player and go, I don't care about anything. I don't care about endorsements. I don't care about my personality. I don't care about media access. I don't care about how much playing time I get. I don't care about bonuses. I just care about at the end of the year playing in the Super Bowl. Well, then the Patriots are perfect for you. If you get off on your personality being out there, having a say in the coaching plan, in the scheme, if you have some feeling of individuality, of having fun while you're doing it, of enjoying the ride, enjoying it, then that's not for you. It's a terrible organization. And guys can feel some of both, appreciative of the winning, but also going, but Bill strips the love out of it. I mean, this is just a cold-hearted business. You go to Seattle, it feels like it's a college team for Pete Carroll. You go to New England, and it is a corporation and it is a business. But it just depends on what type of personality you are. It works for some, it doesn't work for others. And some of it works for some, and some of it doesn't work for others. You can be in the middle and say, this was great and this kind of sucked. But the one thing is you never speak out against the family, ever. Because then you get wiped off the list and you don't get invited back to do Patriots Honor stuff, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, Super Bowls. You don't get that. So you got to make sure you bite your tongue on all of it. And that's what happens a lot is that guys have criticisms of how it went down, but they know it's a no win to say it because you come off as a whiner or you get rubbed out of the system by the Patriots organization. When we come back here on the show, we already knew the Marlins organization was a mess. But let me give you a story about how David Sampson, the previous president before Derek Jeter took over, was truly a psychopath. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
As conditions on the field change, so can your insurance needs. Talk with a Farmers agent today so you can assess whether your policy is game ready. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Remember to subscribe to Nomad. my travel digital web series. Go to YouTube, search my name and Nomad. You'll see episodes there. And when you subscribe, become a subscriber, you'll get automatic notifications of when a new episode is up. This week, Mraz and I take on the Juicy Lucy.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
This week's episode, Mraz and I in Minnesota taking on the cheese-infused burger at Matt's Bar and Grill, where maybe cleanliness wasn't a priority, but the burger was delicious. See what the Juicy Lucy's all about. Adam Richman took one down in his Man versus Food. We took one down as well. That's this episode, this week's episode of Nomad. So make sure you are there. It'll be uploaded. It'll be probably finished tomorrow afternoon. So make sure you subscribe to Nomad so that you have that automatically uploaded. We're automatically notified to you in your inbox.
That's bursts with cheese.
In YouTube. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger, taking a look at the one who got it done. This week, it's Donovan Mitchell. Jazz shooting guard leads Utah 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Rookie guard scoring 8 of Utah's final 9 over the final 3 minutes of the game. Game-winning basket with 39 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Jazz beat the Spurs 101-99 to win their 10th straight game. How about this? The Jazz are now a game and a half back of the Nuggets and Pelicans for the final 2 playoff spots in the West. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger, the products and services you need when you need them. Grainger's got your back to help you keep your facility running. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Trashings are coming in fast and furious right now, so hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll read your trashings coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. Josh tweeting, DA, find any excuse to bring back Pride of Die anytime, any sport, any reason. Hashtag classic.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Indeed. The time that Mraz thought a group of deer was called a die and thought a pride of anything was the right nomenclature. And so he called a group of deer a pride of die.
Is it deers or die?
Placid Joe tweeting in, DA, love the old CBS Olympics music. Nostalgia right there. I knew you would, baby. You know me. You know me in old school CBS theme songs and jingles. With our Olympic theme, that was, remember, the CBS crew had the Olympics in the early 90s. Albertville in 92, Lillehammer with Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan in 94. Remember, Vern Lundquist called Nancy and Tanya. Uncle Vern, best known for his SCC on CBS and his golf, called figure skating in 94, which is still one of the highest rated TV events of all time. So he broke out the old school early 90s CBS Olympic theme. Who couldn't envision Jim Nance in a turtleneck on the ski slopes with that song? Chris tweets in, DA, haven't laughed that hard in a while. Ending that last segment was gold. Quote, we need more gimmicks. Couldn't agree more, Chris. Did I mention we're trying to figure out how to get Kenny Brock to eat crow here on the air?
Wow!
Taz was doing his mock Jason Kelce speech and mentioned the DA show. And out of love, I'm sure he mentioned that some people think we have too many gimmicks here on the show. Well, I agree, because I'm a gimmick guy. I'm drawn to gimmicks, and I am my own living gimmick.
Some say he's got too many gimmicks.
No, I say not enough. So I'm trying to figure out a way, because Brock here on the show on the PGP said that if Nick Foles and the Eagles won a Super Bowl, he would eat crow. Now, it was specifically because of Nick Foles, right? Because he didn't believe in Foles, or he didn't believe in the Eagles in general as an Eagles fan.
No, it actually dated back to he thought the Carson Wentz pick was a terrible pick by the Eagles. And at one point when they drafted, said they'll never win with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz.
Ah.
And then they were red hot with Wentz this year, and we had him on the PGP, and he said, I will gladly eat crow live on the air if the Eagles win the Super Bowl. It just so happened then that Nick Foles took over, but he's honoring his word, even though it wasn't Carson Wentz who won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Brock said to me, well, if you can't find crow, I'll get a tattoo. I mean, those things last forever. I'm like, Brock, you already have 17 tattoos. That's not the bet. The bet is we need to find something gross bird-like.
He's just getting the tattoo anyway.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Bogish sent me this story from Trenton, New Jersey. Trenton is taking a high-tech approach to rid the city of 30,000 crows that are waking up residents and leaving droppings behind. They'll begin using pyrotechnics, lasers, spotlights, amplified recordings of crow distress calls, and crow effigies to scare the birds away. The USDA district supervisor and biologist Kimberly Clapper tells NJ.com that crows and other birds in the winter form large roosts. She says the crows look for areas where there is less light and few people, such as parking lots. They will spend four consecutive nights in Trenton later on in the month trying to do this. Pyrotechnics, lasers, spotlights, amplified recordings of crow distress calls. Well, I mean, if you're woken up by 3,000 crows, I'm sure the crow distress calls will just put you right to bed. I mean, why?
Oh, no.
It's like crows getting murdered? I mean, is that going to put everybody to bed?
I think me and you with like a fishing net out in Trenton sounds like a nomad trying to catch a crow.
First of all, we should just play this show for the crows, and then they'll just fly away anyway. Number two, yeah, we should go out there and just tell Trenton officials we just need one crow here.
Please don't blast this one with a firework. We have a net and hat with us.
Or if they shoot them off with a laser and they drop, then we go and bag them.
We tag and bag it?
Yeah, we're tagging and bagging crows.
We're taking it to the crow morgue. Meanwhile, we're just taking it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because, right, we don't want to be the one to kill the crow.
No, I can't kill the crow.
But I want to catch it falling from the sky like a game. I want a bag and I want to run underneath.
Okay.
Like it's the home run derby.
Okay. So we've got to have the big nets that they have out in the boats in San Francisco to catch the home run balls.
Trenton's McCovey Cove.
We're going to McCrowy Cove, and we are catching dead crows that get zapped by lasers.
And preferably, we want to catch them with a lot of meat on it.
Yeah, because then we're going to throw it in a crock pot. But then we got to have somebody to pluck it.
Oh, I'm not involved.
I can't pluck it. I can't pluck it.
I feel like that is the least of our concerns. Getting a crow, really, to me, seems to be the number one hurdle.
Yeah, but you don't want to be plucking feather by feather.
I think we could find someone to pluck it for us, prepare it for us. I feel like getting the crow is really the issue. So we can catch one falling from the sky post-laser blast. Everything else will fall into place, all right?
We should, though, reach out to Trent and say, is there crows for order, for... Can we buy one of the crows?
They might call the police on us.
They are the police.
Yeah. I mean, if they're trying to get rid of the crows, we need a crow.
I don't think they want the crows eaten. I think they want them thrown in the bay.
Well, they're zapping them with pyrotechnics and lasers. I don't think they care if the crows die, right?
No, but I'm sure they want them to have a happy funeral. They don't want them going down some Philly monster's
mouth.
Oh,
you think Trenton's paying for the proper disposal of crow carcass?
30,000 of them?
Yeah, that's their first question is, how many do you want?
How many thousand can we give you?
Yeah. Oh, only one?
We need to find a crow. We need to figure out a way to find a crow. And we don't have enough hunters up here that we know to go shoot a crow and give it to us.
All right, so this is our chance. Unless we have Kenny eat a crow bar, this is our chance.
We need to figure out a way to get a crow for Brock. I'm going to get to this David Sampson story coming up here shortly. But just so you know, David Sampson, who is a little tyrant who ran the Marlins for years, who was Jeffrey Lurie, the owner's right-hand man, his stooge, basically, to just run it as a crime syndicate and to steal money from the fans and from the city. There's a story out that one of the members of the Marlins organization told that when they would have the sea creature races at Marlins games, okay, so this is kind of like the president's race or the sausage race, they had sea creatures at Marlins game, that essentially the octopus was the Washington Generals of the sea creature race at Marlins games. They would always lose, and they were meant to lose. So all these things would happen to the octopus. And then one time, Sabotage the Octopus went awry, that Billy the Marlin sabotaged somebody else, and the octopus won, and David Sampson flipped his bleep and said, I will fire everybody if that happens again. Think about this. This is the man that ran the Marlins organization into the ground, fire sale after fire sale, sub 500 seasons, just garbage. And what he's worried about is firing everybody because the octopus won the sea creature race. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about the Marlins and David Sampson's reign of ridiculousness, absurdity, and thievery? When we come back, Trash Tuesday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
He's going to kill these dudes in the slalom. The second guy out in the slalom put up a really good time, and they're like, geez, the course is at its best right now because the combined slalom is his worst event. He's better at the slalom than the giant slalom.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So many slaloms here on the show. That was our Super Dave Olympic Minute from earlier in the show. Welcome back. It's time for Trash Tuesday. So hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. Remember, everything is open for trashings at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up next hour, we'll talk NBA nearing the All-Star break with Greg Anthony from Turner Sports. He'll join us in 20 minutes. Also, we'll talk about the NFL draft. First-round prospect, cornerback out of UNC, MJ Stewart, projected near the end of the first round, one of the best corners in the draft. MJ Stewart's going to join us in about 20 minutes past next hour. But let's get to your trashing.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I got to trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm going to trash something you've already bashed me for on Twitter yesterday. We got to stop coming to work when we're sick now. All right, this flu epidemic is getting serious. People are dropping dead left and right. I'm on the train today. I got people coughing here, hocking loogies here. The subway, people are sneezing into their hand and then grabbing onto that metal pole where others will then grab onto later. I mean, I know we live in a culture where everybody wants to tough it out and bosses frown upon sick days, but this goes for bosses with employees use sick days, and this goes for employees. Stay the heck home, because the only way the flu and all this stuff is spreading is because we keep leaving our homes with it.
You've been trashed.
I didn't really trash you for that take yesterday, because obviously I agree. If you're sick, do not come anywhere near me, especially the office.
For sure.
I was trashing you because you feel pretty hypocritical about your workplace etiquette. I mean, you're the one that is insisting, let me wear sweatpants, let me be more of a slob, and then you're going to lecture others on workplace etiquette?
Well, there's a difference between comfort and putting other people in harm's way.
Sweatpants. Don't you think sitting next to you in nothing but sweatpants, the only thing separating me from you and your rear end is just a little flimsy thing of flannel? Don't you think that's putting me in harm's way?
Well, you're assuming I don't wear underpants.
That is the only thing separating me from your underpants.
Well, I mean, it's denim and a thick sweatpant, not that different. The thick coating is there. And I've switched to boxer briefs lately, not boxers. So it's less than thin cotton, it's more spandex.
Come on. Problem solved. Boxer briefs for the win.
Are you worried about getting sick and then maybe dying?
I would classify myself as less healthy than I like to lead on. And I am definitely paranoid that I'm going to get a bad strand of the flu. Like, I can't, I feel like I'm in these tight tubes in these trains and subways, and people are just, I am all over the place watching people cough. I feel like I'm getting insane. I am now becoming a germaphobe. I won't stop washing my hands. Anytime I see somebody even wipe their nose around this place, I'm going nuts. I'm hearing, you know, reports of other hosts here that have been sick and, you know, coughing all over equipment. It doesn't matter how many times you wipe down. I'm freaking out here. I don't want to get sick.
When you say you're less healthy than you lead on, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I've been to doctor's appointments where the doctors have said you're pretty healthy for a fat guy.
Right.
But the fat the fat element is there. I'm suspect to any kind of death at any moment when you carry yourself with this much weight. I think we can all agree with that.
Suspect to any kind of death.
Anything.
Anything.
The shoe fits.
Okay. Pete Bellotti, who are you trashing?
I like the Olympics, actually. I'm a big fan of the Olympics. I think it's good to watch every 2 years, summer or winter.
Uh-huh.
But enough of the tape delay. I'm over it. Over watching competitions that have ended like 2 hours ago and watching it live to tape. I don't like it. I think you air it when it airs live, and that's it. If people want to see it again, go online and watch it. Enough of the tape delay.
What about the people that just simply can't be in front of the TV because they have jobs?
Well, that's tough. That's tough. The Olympics happen at a certain time. Hey, look, when the Mets played over in Tokyo, I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and watch it. So you have to get up at 2 a.m. in the morning and watch the Olympics.
Yeah, but there was 500 people that wanted to watch that Mets game in Tokyo. There's like 5 million people that want to watch the Olympics.
Get up. Get up. Watch it. If you really want to watch it, get up and watch it.
Taking out the trash.
Andrew Bogus.
Thanks, D.A.
Who are you trashing?
similarly, an Olympic-themed trash for me, but this is about the time change from here to Pyeongchang. Now, in this role, sitting here every half an hour trying to tell people what has happened, I have not yet figured out a succinct way to explain the time jump. Like, last night, things were happening in the daylight. It was Monday here. It was Tuesday there. I went to sleep. I woke up. Things were still happening there because it's still Tuesday. But now it's Wednesday. But it's still Tuesday here. So maybe somebody's playing on Thursday in Pyeongchang, but it's really Wednesday here. I don't know how to tell you that. So you know if you want to watch that, that you can actually then go watch it. So it's just when at least we all stay in the same day, I'll take that. 6 hours one way or five the other. But 14 hours is ridiculous.
You're so trashy.
Just ripping.
You're crossing midnight and noon and changing days on me.
This is why everybody should just, there should be one time zone for the whole world.
One time zone. And so like 2 p.m. in some part of the world would just have to be the middle of the night.
You get up. Fall how you lie. I think it should just
you
be
fall
one
fall as you lie. So you'd be okay in New York is if they declared, since there's one time, 2 p.m. is the middle of the night for you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe you adjust your schedules and everybody works overnight. Then,
maybe you would adjust your schedules.
He was assuming he'd have the correct time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Everyone would work off of me.
Yeah, work
so this is a wrinkle.
I'm the geographic center of the universe.
One time zone.
One time zone.
Sean time.
The Mraz time zone. Yeah. Mraz standard time. We're all on that. It all is built off of that.
MST.
Yeah. Oh, it's 8 p.m. MST. Is that Mountain? No, it's Mraz. Mraz, actually.
Time for second dinner.
I am trashing everything about my flight yesterday. This is the first time I've ever had this happen. I had to print out my own luggage tag and then tag my own luggage. One of those really long adhesive prints. They had, I don't know why this was. Usually that happens at the kiosk or at the counter. Somebody does it for you. But no, they're like, you've got to tag your own luggage. I'm like, wow. So now I'm my own steward.
Am I flying the plane?
Seriously, I'm my own steward at this point. Okay. So that's just like a low blow. Fine. I get into the car, or I get into the plane, and I want to plug in my charger for my phone. They're like, chargers are located between the seats. Terrific, okay? Because they don't have in-flight option to watch. You have to watch it on your phone. You have to download the app, watch on your phone. Okay, fine. And they have the design of a plug, a normal plug. And I try to plug my iPhone charger in, and this ain't no plug. I mean, this looked like the front of R2-D2. I'm like, that is not a plug. I can't plug anything into that. Like, what is our plug here? What's the plug? And nobody knew what the plug was. I'm like, okay, that doesn't work. Then the woman next to me is flipping through the Sky Mall magazine, but it's like the United Sky Mall, so it's not quite Sky Mall. And she rips out a page of the Sky Mall mag, just rips it out. And I'm like, that's not your mag. That's for the next person as well. It's like the people that fill out the Sudoku or the crosswords, like, that's not your magazine. Don't leave that for somebody else. So she rips out, and then the coup de grace here. She flossed next to me during the flight with one of those pick flosses.
Oh.
She's flossing and looking at what she's flossing. And I'm like, you know, that is the ultimate disgrace right there. And I just looked at her with this look of like, are you kidding me? You're flossing on the flight with one of those individual pick flosses?
And reminiscing about the meal?
About the meal, probably. Ugh. This is what I ate in the terminal before we left. And I just said, Grammy, you got to go, man. You are a disgusting individual. I said this in my head, of course, because I would never say this to them. But what a disgusting, reprehensible individual. And you got to get trashed.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Take out your trashings here at 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Willie's in Arizona, 94.3, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Willie, who are you trashing?
Mr. D.A., I'm ready to trash 90% of your listeners thinking they really knew what dye was and making fun of my friend Mraz. I don't know what class they taught that a deer, a gang of deers, was a dye. And Mraz don't get a big head because I still hate the Yankees.
Well, wait a second, Willie. A group of deer is not a dye.
So I thought that's what the whole laughing at Mraz was.
Yeah, no, it's, but he was wrong. He was incorrect. It's not a dye.
Okay, so I guess they're going to laugh at me, D.A.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Willie was just as lost as you are, Mraz. He thought that a group of deer was a dye.
I see, it's not just my education system. It's out there.
I don't think it's out there.
No, Willie's also from Babylon.
Yeah. Willie has to be so embarrassed and mortified right now, he'll never call back.
Why are people making fun of Mraz? It's not actually a dye. It's just deer. It's a group of deer. That's it.
The silence was great both times. Yeah. He was so stumped.
Wait, what?
Oh. Well, then laugh at me, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. Jason tweets, I'm trashing the guy who got ate by the lion. I think it's got eaten, but shouldn't he have been wearing one of those chain link suits like the shark divers?
Epic trash job.
That's how you hunt lions in like giant armor from the medieval times. Mike tweets, I'm trashing Isaiah Thomas. Showed a lot of heart and game, but he's not backing up the Brinks truck this offseason.
Someone just got trashed.
Matthew tweets, I'm trashing cities that don't fix potholes on the road. And where's our taxpayer money going?
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Kind of feel like everybody has that same problem in every city, right? Is it that potholes never get fixed anywhere?
You know what? I want to be nice to my part of Long Island. Actually, I've seen the truck the last 2 days just driving around aimlessly filling potholes. Where they find them, they just drop some tar and move on.
Okay.
So it's something.
So one town.
Mine.
One town, yeah.
Yep.
Mark tweets, I'm trashing all young kids. It's called a bus stop, not bus stops. Walk across the stupid street or a few houses down and all get picked up at once. Oh, and tell your parent standing in the garage in their row to put on some damn clothes and go to work.
Trashing is fun.
You like that, Mraz?
Oh, now the kids get picked up every other house. Back in my day, we had to walk 4 blocks to the train station, the bus station, the bus stop. Now these freaking buses pick up every other house.
I love the idea of a 6-year-old Mraz walking to the bus station. The Greyhound, he's catching.
I'm just saying, we had to hoof it. These kids, it was one stop for the neighborhood. Now there's like 15 of them.
And look how you turned out. So they've done everything differently now.
They said, this cannot be representative of our graduates.
Instead of walking 4 blocks, stay inside and learn something, and we'll pick you up in the meantime.
Don't freeze your brain and overload on McDonald's fries.
You don't have to walk to the bus station.
Johnny tweets, I want to trash the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, for not allowing NHL players to participate in the Olympics. It's a shame that these great athletes do not get to represent their home countries. It makes for a less interesting men's hockey tournament. Screw Bettman!
Boom! Trashed.
Josh tweets, I want to trash bleeping flu season. Hashtag, I just want to feel better. Hashtag, beam me up. Hashtag, 2 weeks and counting. Hashtag, kids are petri dishes.
You've been trashed.
Nicholas is in Idaho, listening to 93.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Nicholas, who are you trashing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man. So, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. My first time calling in, and I am trashing the majority of analysts out there talking about the NBA. I'm sick of hearing about the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics and how it's going to be one of those teams coming out of that conference because the Cavaliers did that mega blockbuster trade. Suddenly LeBron James is back. Wait, hold up 1 second. What about the Toronto Raptors? Don't they have a lead in that division right now? Aren't they blowing out their opponents by at least 15 points in the last 5 games? Don't they have the best home record in the NBA right now? I'm sick of hearing about LeBron. I'm sick about the Boston Celtics and Kyrie Irving. And I'm ready for Toronto to get some love. Dang it.
You've been trashed.
That's fair, Nicholas, because right now Toronto is the one seed of the Eastern Conference. And I want to talk to Greg Anthony about the Raptors because he was high on the Raptors last time we spoke to him. But you're right. The Cavaliers and Celtics get all of the love and nobody gives the Raptors love. And they deserve it because right now we're entering the All-Star break and they are the one seed. It's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up with your trashings at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Brian tweets, I'm trashing my coworker for living in the 16th century. Apparently, he thinks cooking grease is a substitute for shampoo. I've started calling him Captain Crisco.
Taking out the trash.
Oh, God. Cooking grease instead of shampoo. That's a tough coworker right there. So we'll continue getting to your trashings in the final hour of the show. Also, when we come back, as I mentioned, Greg Anthony on where we sit going into the All-Star break. The Raptors need more love. The Cavaliers, do they remake their image enough to make a run of the NBA Finals? And is Golden State bored? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.